So we are sticking with the death penalty issue for Vence Day. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan. It's Vence Day, and we've been talking about the death penalty this hour. We also put a survey online. The Jefferson Exchange Facebook page is a great way to reach that, asking, do you support the death penalty? Been getting responses all week and asking people to tell us why or why not. Don in Josephine County says no to the death penalty. Janelle in Fortuna on the same page. She says it's simple. Two wrongs do not make a right. But they're in the minority of our survey respondents. We got 58 of those over the last week from all over JPR's listening area, and about 64% of people say they support the death penalty. That's 64% supporting, and only one person checking the undecided box. Amy in Klamath Falls says anyone that commits a violent crime against someone else, such as murder, rape, or pedophilia, should not be allowed to enjoy anything about life. Richard in Reading says it's the only appropriate penalty for murder. It should also be used for other serious crimes. Michelle in Klamath Falls on the same page there. Some crimes demand the death penalty, she says. Not every person can be rehabilitated, and 100 years in prison is cruel and unusual punishment on society. But Anonymous in Gold Beach says killing someone is cruel and unusual punishment, and the percentage of falsely accused and falsely convicted is too high. Fred in Reading says no to capital punishment as well. He says too many people are being exonerated due to DNA technology, and it takes years for the appellate court to hear these cases. So that's what we're looking at here. 64% of people who took our survey were in favor of the death penalty. We have lots more comments from them, Jeff, as well as these sort of veins running through them, mostly people talking about just desserts, and then people talking about the more practical side of things, such as the costs of carrying out the death penalty as a sentence.
We want to hear from you. This is Vence Day on the Jefferson Exchange, your chance to vent on this topic. Death penalty is always a hot topic in America. Heats up again, of course, as we get closer to the election because of California's Prop 62 and 66. But what do you think? Elections aside, what is the proper treatment of people who have committed murder? Should they be put to death as well or not? And if not, then how should they be dealt with for the rest of their lives? 800-838-3760 to bring your comments in by phone. By email, it's jx@jeffnet.org. Thirty-six on the Jefferson Exchange on the News and Information Service of Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Jeffrey Riley.
And I'm Emily Curitan, and it is Vence Day. We want to hear from you right now by phone or email. We're talking about capital punishment. Do you support the death penalty? Tell us why or why not. 800-838-3760 or by email jx@jeffnet.org.
We have a call on the line already. Here is David in Klamath Falls. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vence Day.
Good morning.
Hi.
First of all, I'm in favor of repealing the death penalty. I think that is an inappropriate response for an enlightened society. But I also think that an issue that doesn't get discussed enough is until the penal system is itself reformed and until there are more humane conditions in the prison system, it becomes unusual and cruel punishment to incarcerate someone for life in an inhumane system. I think that's part of the issue, is reforming the whole penal system in itself before we can make a good decision about the death penalty.
All right, David, we have a little cell phone fade here. You said you're in favor of repealing the death penalty, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
David, thank you for that. We're going to let you go because your connection is really bad, and it sounds like you might be driving and talking on the phone. No judgments there, but if you are, don't do that. We did put a survey out to get a regional picture of people's feelings about the death penalty. And that turned up 64% of about 58 people or 58 responses we got. 64% of them were in favor, 35 against. And I went ahead and compared that to what national pollsters have found. According to the latest surveys by the nonpartisan Pew Research Center, only about half of Americans now favor the death penalty for people convicted of murder, while 42% oppose it. Much like public opinion about something like abortion, these figures tend to change quite a lot over the years. Support for the death penalty has dropped 7 percentage points just in the last year since March of 2015. So folks in our region, at least who took our survey, not terribly scientific, but more of them in favor of the death penalty than a national picture might indicate. Tammy in Riddle is one of those folks. She says, if we had an automatic death penalty for severe crimes, unspeakable acts, or extreme wrongdoing, the crime rate would drastically reduce.
Did you happen to say what an automatic death penalty is?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a sort of Orwellian thing to consider, like a little black pill or something like that. But, you know, her idea of a swift death penalty that is, I guess, hinged to a particular crime, does raise a good question. And that's, is the death penalty an effective deterrent for serious crime? We heard from a couple of guests earlier in the hour making, opposed points there. And, you know, while we can't prove causation here, we do have some figures on death penalty statutes in states, how it affects their murder rate or what their murder rate is relative to whether or not they have a death penalty statute. So that's 32 U.S. states with the death penalty, and there's been a number of studies comparing them to the ones without. On the whole, the data there does not support the idea that the death penalty deters crime, since states with capital punishment consistently actually have higher murder rates than those without it. Of course, these studies aren't able to prove that capital punishment is actually not deterring criminals, but there's no smoking gun here. In fact, the New York Times did a big investigation of this exact question and found that of 10 out of the 12 states without the death penalty have homicide rates that are below the national average, whereas half of the states with the death penalty have homicide rates above the national average.
Curious to know about the composition of those states, population, things like that, whether there's any particular trends that can be pointed to.
Well, I think the South is certainly singled out as having both the highest homicide rates and the most likely more states with the death penalty. In our region, we heard people supporting it in both ways. And we want to hear from you now on Vents Day. That's 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org to join the conversation.
All right, let's go to Derek and Talent. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. And I'm also driving, but the Bluetooth is...
Okay, Bluetooth headset makes it fine.
It's not a headset, it's on the truck. But
okay.
In any case... So I'm opposed to the death penalty. I mean, certainly you can incarcerate someone without it being cruel and unusual punishment. But the state sanctioning of murder is, in my book, if you want to talk about immorality, that's where I would place that. I would be curious to hear what... I mean, you don't... We know that we kill innocent people with the death penalty. And so you're never going to rule that out. So but just set that aside. You're still murdering someone. And the state sanctioning of that is just unacceptable in my book.
All right. Thanks for that, Derek. Appreciate it. I want to get what you're thinking about the death penalty as well. I mean, is there a case in which a death for a death is warranted? Is there a case when a death for something other than a death is warranted? We do have a... quote here from Amy in Ashland, who took our survey. She says, I support it for habitual sex offenders. You cannot rehab those people. Confessed and convicted murderers with no chance of appeal. Well, where all DNA in the case has been processed and confirmed, conviction should also apply. Costs of lifetime imprisonment far outweigh the costs of death. Maybe if more serious consequences were levied across the board, fewer heinous crimes would be committed. That from Amy in Ashland. What do you think? 800-838-3760 to join the death penalty conversation by phone, by email. It's jx@jeffnet.org.
Jeff, Amy in Ashland, she's not the only person to say she supports the death penalty due to the cost of imprisoning someone for life. But other people say they're opposed to the death penalty because of the cost of legally executing someone. So there's certainly a paradox in these arguments. We looked into what are the costs. One source I found was an Orange County judge who sent 9 men to death row on his tenure at the bench. And he says it's 10 times more expensive to kill them than to keep them alive. That's a quote there. And the costs are not associated, obviously, with the actual execution, often a cocktail of drugs that might cost $100. But they are associated with due process and the appeals process. So, you know, where we go with that, there have been a number of studies as to how expensive it is to execute somebody. $500,000 can be added to costs for the prosecution and the defense in a death penalty case versus a non-death penalty case. That was a study by the Washington State Bar Association. And that's not including the appeals process beyond the initial trial. New York State did a study of that, and they estimate that the death penalty there costs $1.8 million per case just through the trial and the initial appeal. So these are some big numbers, and associated with due process, we have people who weighed into this discussion via social media and the Jeff Exchange Facebook page who were on both sides of the argument here. A in Klamath Falls says, if you do something so egregious to an individual or a society to earn the death penalty, it should be followed through in a quick and orderly manner. Sherry in Crescent City seconding that. She says taxpayers should not be spending money to keep someone like Charles Manson alive for years. Murderers, rapists, child molesters, they should receive capital punishment. No lengthy appeals dragging on for years, costing taxpayers more and more, and extending the time we're still paying to keep that criminal alive.
Which raises the question that I didn't quite get to with the two guests who supported Prop 62 and 66 earlier in the hour, which is, should this ever be decided on economic means? Should that be the point that makes your decision solidify one way or the other, whether it costs more to put somebody to death than it costs to keep them in life in prison, or vice versa? What do you think about getting dollars and cents into the equation when we're talking about taking a life in response for that person taking a life? Death penalty is the topic here on Vents Day on the Jefferson Exchange. Getting some more people onto the phone lines here at 800-838-3760. And our email address is jx@jeffnet.org.
Let's take a call. Let's go to Cara in Eugene. Cara, you're on the air.
Oh, good morning. Yeah, you know, I've thought about this a little bit in the past and wondered about the idea that murderers are probably never, I think they're probably never born. Every child is born innocent. So if you believe that, maybe some people think that people, little tiny babies, are already have the inclination to become a murderer when they're born, but I really doubt that. I think that people become violent through experiences in their life. So it seems to me that it might be a better use of our money to say, okay, we shouldn't have the death penalty because this person was innocent when they came into this life. And there should be funds to really study what was the process. How did they become violent? So that we can understand better how people become violent and lose their empathy and then end up killing each other. And so that would help our society perhaps move away from it. And so anyway, those are some things to think about.
So money better spent, you're saying, to figure out why people end up committing murder in the first place.
Yeah, if we're spending so much money on trying to kill them, instead have really good system of psychologists and whatever, sociologists that look into the background of the families and the circumstances and the person, and let's find these. I know there's probably a lot of it already out there. But if every single murderer that was convicted was studied and we had that really lined up, we could say, hey, these are the factors that create murderers in our society. We have got to change these factors in our society so these people cannot do this harm to other people and destroy their own lives in the process.
All right, Kara, good to visit with you again. Thanks for calling the Exchange on this Vents Day. Vents Day, the topic this week is capital punishment, the death penalty, on the ballot in California, twice actually on the ballot in Nebraska, up for discussion in Oregon still, although not on the ballot because Governor Kitzhaber, the previous governor, said he would not carry out any executions. Governor Kate Brown says she's personally opposed to the death penalty but hasn't decided whether she'll actually carry any out. What do you think? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Todd and Ashlyn told us it's a degradation of culture. Shane in Reading had a very different take. He says get rid of lethal injection altogether and bring back public hangings. Before we get to another call, I'd like to hear from Charles in Ashland. Charles called before the program to put in his two cents.
Hi, this is Charles in Ashland. I just wanted to point out that every society which has capital punishment also refuses to provide abortions for women, and very patriarchal societies. The second thing is I'd like people to remember Rose Byrd in California, who lost her Supreme Court seat for defending the loss of capital punishment in that state. Thank you.
Remembering Rose Byrd with Charles and Ashland, she, of course, served for 10 years as Chief Justice of California's Supreme Court, the first woman to do so, and also the first and only person who was Chief Justice in California to be removed from office by the voters. That coming in 1986 after a campaign that focused largely on her opposition to the death penalty.
I remember that well. The California campaigns right now are for Prop 62, which would repeal the death penalty, and Prop 66, which would keep it but streamline it. And in fact, the campaign for 66 is called No on 62, Yes on 66. The last time California voted was on Prop 34 4 years ago. It went down to defeat narrowly, 52 no votes to 48 yes in percentage, I mean. So here California is at it again, considering what to do about the death penalty. What do you think? What is the appropriate response from society to people who have committed murder? 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Greg in Medford. Welcome to Vents Day.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, you?
I'm fine, thank you very much. No.
So go ahead.
What are we doing?
Tell me what's on your mind about the death penalty.
Oh, well, on the death penalty, I was convicted of a homicide in Montana. I did 3 years. I was convicted for 18 years, but I had my sentence reduced. And the bottom line is I know so many people that have been so wrongly convicted and just shoved through the system. And my point is that there is just the system is skewed. And it depends on where you're from, what's going on, and there are circumstances in every case that need to be investigated. And, in fact, the bottom line is there is just a lot of wrongful convictions out there. And I just want to make that point very, very clear. So when people make their point of, well, we need to kill everybody, yeah, that's absolutely wrong. Not fair, and that's my basic comment.
All right, Greg and Medford, thanks for sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, coming from someone who spent time in the prison system, I do have some numbers here, Jeff, to help us wrestle with these issues. In terms of the number of people we're talking about, there are 2,905 death row inmates in the U.S. as of the latest count over this summer. And by far the most of them, the majority of them are in California. That's 741 people on death row in California. You can compare that to 34 people in Oregon. And what Greg was talking about there with some disparities, one that's often pointed to is that African Americans make up about 13% of the general population in the United States, but 42% of the death row population. And actually today, the U.S. Supreme Court is hearing arguments in a death penalty case dealing with racial bias. According to NPR, the court is considering the case of Dwayne Buck, a convicted Texas murderer. He was sentenced to die after an expert witness testified that he would be more likely to commit violent crimes in the future because he's black. There's no doubt about Dwayne Buck's guilt or the gruesome nature of his crime, but that the inclusion of that as evidence in his trial is being considered by the Supreme Court today. We want to hear what you think about death penalty, crime punishment, fairness, and justice. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org.
Let's go to take a call from Jay in Ashland. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vents Day.
Yes, I want to do a follow-up comment on the last guy who experienced the system.
All right.
And are just to support the point of view that we have a very imperfect system of justice. The Innocence Project was very much a proof of that, if anybody wants to look up about it. And what's the morality of an imperfect system that says somebody has been is liable for murder when, you know, 5 years down the road you can prove that it was the politics of it that got him convicted? And the ethics of that is clear, that you should abolish the death penalty unless you have 100% guarantee. How many people, innocent people, are you willing to convict for the comfort of society that's based on a lie? That's my comment.
All right. Thanks for that, Jay. Appreciate that.
An interesting one. It reminds me of one we got from Brittany in Reading, who was actually the only survey respondent this week who says she's undecided about the death penalty. That also surprised me. Of 58 people, only one didn't have their mind made up. That was Brittany in Reading. She wrote to us, "There have been times that innocent people have been put in jail for murders they haven't committed and been given the death penalty. Then there have been times that innocent people have been framed for murders and put to the death penalty. The Cliff's Notes version, innocent people have lost their lives because of the death penalty, and at the same time, there are others who really deserve it." So there's Brittany sort of working through why she doesn't know how to feel about this.
Let's go to somebody we haven't heard from in a while, Dennis and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange on Vince Day.
Hi.
Hi.
Say, I had a family member murdered, and he was murdered in Mexico, and three people killed him. And they were caught, and our family was contacted by the Mexican government, and we were asked whether we wanted these people put to death or not. And we had a family meeting where we all sat and talked about what had happened and how we would want to deal with it. And we unanimously decided that we didn't want to have these people put to death, that we wanted them to have life imprisonment. Well, and as far as I know, that's what happened. But the reason, the main reason that our family didn't want to have the death penalty is because we all felt like we would be tied to these people for the rest of our lives, because we would have some responsibility for their death. And that seemed like a heavy burden to carry on top of the burden that we already had.
Huh.
So that's how we dealt with it.
And do you feel tied to them knowing that they're in prison, or not knowing, it sounds like, what happened to them?
Pardon?
Do you feel tied to them as life in prison, or do you feel like you're...
No, I have no feeling like I did anything that ended their life. I didn't want to be responsible. And neither did my parents or my grandparents. None of us wanted to be responsible for taking somebody else's life, because it is possible they could have been innocent. I mean, It was in Mexico. We didn't know all the facts. He was brutally murdered. But, you know, it was just, we, as a family, we just decided that that's how we wanted it done. And as far as we know, that's how it was done.
All right, Dennis, thanks for sharing the story with us. Appreciate you sharing that, as difficult as it might be. A couple of comments here from today's emails. John in Ashland says, the latest Pew data show that evangelical Christians have the highest support for the death penalty of all religious groups. This is deeply ironic in light of the teachings of Jesus. Sally No Town Givens says death penalty should be done away with because they are rarely carried out due to the numerous appeals that are allowed. Life sentences cost us less. John in Ashland says, considering the fact that many people now have been found to be innocent after being convicted of murder, we know that people are wrongly convicted. Wouldn't this be the ultimate argument for abolishing the death penalty? What do you think? 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Let's take another call here. Let's go up and see who we got on the lines.
Yeah, well, while we think about that, I think it's interesting.
I want to see who's on the phone. Go ahead and show me, Emily Pfeiffer. There we go. Okay, Dave in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Dave in Grants Pass, go ahead.
Yes, good morning, Tom. How are you?
Doing well. How are you?
Good. My opinion relative to capital punishment is very, very much in favor of. The biggest problem is that our government, in relation to and our legal system, in relation to carrying out the laws of the state, that the issues are in, is that with only 1% actually receiving the death penalty, that effectively presents a no death penalty practice by the state. So in relation to the death penalty being a deterrent, it isn't, because the death penalty really, in effect, isn't being applied.
All right. Thanks for that, Dave. Appreciate it.
Yep. Interesting comments here. People wrestling with the economic or the moral question here and falling on both sides of the coin in both cases. An eye for an eye is something we heard over and over on the survey, Jeff. And on the other hand, people saying an eye for an eye makes the whole world blind. So really illuminating for me to grapple with this to the extent that we have. And I want to thank everybody who took our survey by finding the Jefferson Exchange on Facebook or tolerating our posts in your community groups. If you are part of a community group in our listening area, and you'd like to see our surveys turn up in that feed, do find Jeff Exchange on Facebook and give us a like.
You know, the research was not just about things going on in American society now and statistics, but I have to admit that we also went in search of Bible verses as we look for eye for an eye. We got into Matthew and Exodus yesterday.
That does happen from time to time here on Vents Day. I'm Emily Curitan.
I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thanks for listening to Vents Day, and thanks for taking part. This is the Jefferson Exchange on Jefferson Public Radio.